You know, we've had a pretty good month, haven't we, this last month, this October? And Sherry and I have been so blessed by you. I mentioned that a week or two ago, and we're so thankful to be here with you and part of this congregation and part of what God is doing here. And I hope that you got a bulletin this morning, and I wrote it in there, but it bears repeating once more. You know, we got a lot of praise, Sherry and I, this last month, and we're so thankful for your graciousness and your goodness and your kindness to us. We just want to thank you for that. But I want us to be mindful. I mentioned this in the newsletter, and I want to say it again. I want us to be mindful of who is the head of this church. It is Jesus. Ephesians 1:21-1:22 describes the head of the church. It is Jesus. And I want us to be mindful as Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, to whom goes the glory? It is God. Amen? God gets the glory. To thine be the glory. It is God that gets the glory here, and it is Jesus that is the head. And Sherry and I, well, we're just a couple of servants. Servants like you of the Most High God. Last week I challenged you a little bit to read some of Romans 5, 6, 7, 8. Anybody do that? Outstanding. Thank you. How'd you like it? It's good stuff. I want to encourage the rest of you to read your Bibles, read and pray. And so I want to encourage you to do that. You know, last Sunday night we had a Sunday evening set aside for prayer only. And we were talking, Bob Brown and I, a little bit about that as we prayed and after we prayed. And then I went home and I was tired. I was very, very tired, but I picked up a book by Jim Cimbala called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. It was in our library at home. Have you ever read that book? Some of you have. I thought I had too until I got into it two or three pages and realized I've never read this book. I guess it was one of Cimbala's other books. And even though I was tired because, well, we had a busy morning, we had a good day, and you know what? Some of you that were in the second service last week, you were met out here on the steps by a panhandler, weren't you? Some of you weren't in second service, but some of you were, and you were met right here on the steps with somebody looking for handouts. And I was talking to her off and on for the next 20-25 minutes, and come to find out, you know, we talked about a lot of things. I asked her a lot of things. Finally, the bottom line is her home was in Moorhead, so she wanted this, she wanted that, she wanted the other thing. And so I said, why don't we take you home? Isn't that what you really want? And so Sherry and I took her home to Moorhead. So anyway, I was a little tired, and I got home after prayer time that night, and I began to read this book, and I read 60 or 70 pages before I could put it down. And I want to share some of what's on my heart about that book today, because it spoke to me. You know, I don't know if you know the story of the Brooklyn Tabernacle or not. Some of you read his book, but do you know the story of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, anybody? Have you heard of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir? Couple of Grammys they've won. I don't remember how big that choir is. It's huge. A couple of hundred people, I think. But anyway, it's a great story, and if you ever get a chance, it's not a very big book, but if you get a chance, read Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. And I'm going to just challenge you again this morning about prayer. You've seen the title, Seeking the Face of God as a Body, as a Church. And you say, well, Jim, you've talked about that off and on before. Yes, I have. But God continues to stir in my heart some things, and so let me challenge you with a couple of questions. Think about these for a minute. How important to you is the time that you spend with God in prayer? I just want you to think about that. You don't have to answer me now or ever. But I want you to think about how important is it to you the time that you spend with God in prayer? And I could build on that. Do you long for that time each day, or is it just something left over? Do you long to be in communion with the Father? You know what? We could mention names here, but there's a certain group that's got about 1.6 billion members around the world. They pray five times a day. Get down on their hands and knees. They don't care who's watching. And so I asked myself as I read this book this week, I read the rest of it a couple nights later, how important is it to the body of Christ to get in communion with God? Or is it just something, well, I got a little time left over, I guess I'll thank him today. Or I guess I'll ask for this or ask for that. Question number two that came to my mind as I was reading this. Do we have a daily prayer time where it is just you and the Lord? Do we have that? Do we long for that? Do we desire that? Oh, I can't wait till I get alone with God again tomorrow. Number three, how important is it for there to be a time when the church comes together just to pray? In your opinion, this is what God laid on my heart. In your opinion, how important is that for the body of Christ? You and I, we got different backgrounds. We even go to different churches here maybe today. That's okay. I'm glad you're here. But how important is it for a time when the body of Christ just comes together and seeks the face of God? And I just want you to think about that. Here's what Cimbala said partway into the book. And I think he's dead on. If we don't have the time right now, or we don't want to spend time right now in prayer and experiencing the closeness of God while we're here on earth, why would we even want to go to heaven? Have you ever thought of that? Because you know what, brothers and sisters? Heaven is the essence of God. God is the center of heaven. And if we don't have time for Him here, then why in the world would we want to go there? That spoke to me. How much time do we give the Father today? As a church, as an individual, as a family, you ask yourself whatever questions you want. But my point is this, are we seeking the face of God? His people, a church, whether it's this building or the next one or the next one in the next town or up the street, how much time is the body of Christ corporately seeking the face of God? Let me throw out a couple verses for you. Psalm 50, verse 15. I love this verse. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me, says the Lord. Call upon me in the day of trouble, he says. You know what? Pastor Les said it a while back on Sunday night. We got a few troubles in America. And are we calling upon him in the day of our trouble as a body of believers? Our children, we raise them up. We try to bring them up in Christ and we bring them through the church. And the statistics say 75% leave the church when they go to college. We are in trouble. Are we calling upon the name of the Lord when we are in trouble? 51 million abortions in America. We are in trouble. Are we calling as a body of believers on God for our trouble? He says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. Hallelujah. Amen. I will deliver you. And I believe it, brothers and sisters. I believe when we get serious with Jesus. I believe when we get serious seeking the face of God, He says, I'll deliver you. I believe He'll do it. I asked myself, because I'm the pastor, I should be leading you. When was the last time we spent all night here in prayer? It hasn't happened. I'm ashamed to say that. Some churches, the Brooklyn Tabernacle for one, never stops praying. 24/7 somebody's praying in the church house. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, Romans 10:13 says. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for Himself. The Lord will hear when I call to Him. Psalm 4:3 says. And we could go on and on and on and on about the verses that say, call upon the Lord. And I'm asking myself, as your pastor, as your brother in Christ, am I seeking the face of God? Are we seeking the face of God as a church the way we should be? Let me point out to you a couple more scripture verses. Genesis 4, 25 and 26. I think Tim might have that. I'm going to read it to you from the King James Version. Genesis 4, 25 and 26. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For God said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. You know the story. Cain killed his brother. God blessed her with another son. And the Bible says in verse 26, "And to Seth, to him there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." There was a time that they fell away from God. We know that because there was a flood as a result. There was another time when the Israelites fell away from God. They went into the Assyrians and then to the Babylonians. We know about that. But there was a time, and I believe that time needs to be again today, when the men and women of God begin to call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord," and that is what some of them at least began to do. Fast forward all the way now to Acts 2:42. Acts 2:42, the Holy Spirit of God has been poured out on humanity. Peter has just preached a powerful sermon. Thousands came to Christ that day. Acts 2:42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Hundreds of people began to seek the face of God. Not just for 10 minutes on Sunday morning or before my meal or whenever my time is. They began in earnest to seek the face of God in prayer. The early church, brothers and sisters, was built upon prayer. They got together to pray. They got together. Why? Because they knew their dependence was upon the Creator. So oftentimes, I fear today, we got all this power by Armstrong, we can do it ourselves, and we're not dependent upon the Creator. Seeking the face of God as a church was not just for the people with Enos, was not just for the 12 and their followers. It is for the church today, I believe. Seeking the face of God as a church. And I believe when we get ready to do that, brothers and sisters, amazing things will happen. Just like they did at that time. Cimbala continues in his book and says this, "The more we pray, the more we sense our need to pray. The more we sense the need to pray, the more we want to pray." Have you ever felt that longing? I need to be with the Father. I need to be in prayer. I want to be at church because there's going to be prayer time. Have you ever felt that, brothers and sisters? Because if we haven't, I hope we pray, "God, give me that desire. Give me that desire," because you know one day we're going to walk the streets of gold if we know Christ as Lord and Savior. We're going to walk the streets of gold. We're going to be in the presence of the Almighty. We're going to be face to face with God, and we're going to be communing with Him forever. And if we don't have a desire to do that today, then I ask myself and I ask the Church of America today, then why would we even want to go to heaven if we don't want to spend any time with Him right now and today? The kingdom of God starts within us, brothers and sisters, today. Amen? Amen? It starts when we acknowledge Christ. The kingdom of God is here in men and women today. And we should long to be face to face with God even today. Cimbala goes on, "If my church or your church isn't praying, we should not be boasting in our programs or our Sunday morning attendance figures or anything else." I think he's right. Marie and I are in administration in the Free Methodist Church. Pastor Les has been in administration in the Free Methodist Church. Some of you are in administrations, have been in other churches. We have to send in numbers, statistics. How many were here on Sunday morning? How many were here on Wednesday night? You know what I was thinking about this week? Why don't we send in how many are praying? Why? And I'm going to ask our superintendent, and you can remind me to challenge me, Marie. I'm going to ask him that. Why don't we send in who's praying? Listen to me, friends. Do we really believe He is Creator? Do we really believe He is God, omnipotent, sovereign? Do we really believe that He actually cares about you and I? I think the answers are yes, aren't they? We do believe. We do believe He is God. We do believe Jesus was God incarnate. We do believe He died for our sin. Father, we cry out to, I believe You. And brothers and sisters, I think we believe in the Old Testament. We believe in the parting of the Red Sea. We believe in the water gushing out of the rock. We believe when Jesus took a little spit and a little mud and placed them on the blind man's eyes, He saw. We believe that. And yet we don't seek Him like we believe that today, I don't think. Because if we sought Him like we really believed it, Jesus said, faith like a mustard seed will move mountains. Brothers and sisters, I believe we serve the same God that's willing to move mountains of obstacles out of our paths so that we'll bring glory to the Almighty. I believe that we serve the same God. And I just am asking us, friends, brothers and sisters, how do we think this God who parted the Red Sea, who made the dead to rise in Lazarus, this same God is willing to do things in our midst today, but how is He ever going to do it if the church is not seeking His face in prayer? That's what I ask myself. How is He ever going to do it if I'm just sitting, walking through life and saying, go ahead and do your thing, God. How is He ever going to do it if the church is not seeking His face in prayer? You might realize by now this book has challenged my heart. Listen to what else Pastor Cimbala said. He told his congregation, it started as a congregation of 20 or 30 people, run-down place in a really, really, really difficult atmosere. But he told his small, growing congregation, here's his quote, if we call upon the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is not just flippant 30 seconds here or 10 seconds there. You've heard of the word travail? Liken it to a woman in labor, in agony and travail. That's what the Bible calls prayer. That's what the Bible says. That's how we got to seek the face of God. And that's what Cimbala meant when he said to his church, if we call upon the Lord, if we travail in prayer, He has promised in His Word to answer, to bring the unsaved to Himself, to pour out His Spirit among us. But if we do not call upon the Lord, He has promised nothing, nothing at all. It's as simple as that, he told his congregation. No matter what I preach or what we claim to believe in our heads, the future of this church will depend upon our times of prayer. We must be earnest and consistent and intentional and travailing in our prayer. This is what he told his church. The quote continues, this is the engine that will drive the church. He said, yes, I want you to come on Sunday mornings. In their case, their prayer time was Tuesday night. He said, yes, I want you to come on Sunday mornings, but the prayer nights is what it's really about. End quote. That same morning, he knew there was a visiting pastor from New Zealand. He invited him forward for a word. That same morning, here's what the visiting pastor said to that church. This is all he said. You can tell how popular a church is by who comes on Sunday morning. You can tell how popular the pastor or the evangelist is by who comes on Sunday evening. But you can tell how popular Jesus is by who comes to the prayer meeting. And he went back and sat down. That's how he challenged that flock. That's how he challenged that congregation. And I don't know if that speaks to you this morning, brothers and sisters, to me, but it speaks to me. How popular is Jesus to me? How popular is Jesus to the body of Christ called the church in America today? How popular is Jesus to us? Is he popular enough that we care about the person across the street and their eternal salvation? Or are we satisfied with the status quo of our community just the way it is all around us? People needing Jesus. Hearts that are broken. Bodies that are broken. hearts and marriages that are failing, people that are going to hell. Are we okay with the status quo just like it is? Their big night in Brooklyn is on Tuesday when hundreds, hundreds, and hundreds come on Tuesday nights to prayer. 14, 15, 1600 people gather every Tuesday night simply to pray, to seek the face of God. And I could go on for an hour on the miracles that have happened. He tells sordid stories. If you've read some of the book, you know male prostitutes and what goes on down there in the salt mines. Female prostitutes, LSD, heroin, meth addicts, all many changed by the changing, cleansing power of Jesus. Hundreds of them. Hundreds of them, homeless people to work, transvestites and homosexuals changed and living for Christ, some even in their choir. Changed by the power of Jesus. Why? Because they get together intentional and pray. Listen to me, friends, I'm not condemning what we do here or what we don't do, okay? That's not what I'm doing this morning. I am simply saying, as a church, I'm asking myself, and you need to ask yourselves, as a church, are we seeking the face of God the way we should be, that will make a difference for eternity? Really quickly, I want to give you two more scriptures about prayer. Acts 4, Peter's second sermon. Ignited by the Holy Spirit again, Peter and John had then been threatened by the Pharisees and told, "Stop speaking about Jesus." I think you know the story. It's Acts 4, 23 to 31. You can read it. We don't have time right now. And Peter and John were told this, and I think you know the story that says, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." You know what? After that, I was thinking about this. They could have protested. They could have said, "You know what? You're wrong. We're going to do this, and we're going to protest, and we're going to march, and you know what? We're going to write our senators and tell them to." But they didn't do that. You know what verse 31 says? King James Version, verse 31, Acts chapter 4. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." You see what's happening, sisters and brothers? They depended upon the Almighty. They knew they had no strength on their own. I like the word Cymbala uses over and over. He uses this word. Pastors sometimes think we're clever in our programs, in our deliveries, and in our whatever we do. But it's not the pastor that's the head of the church. It is Jesus. It is Jesus that's the head of the church. And we've got to remember where our power comes from. And when they prayed, the Bible said, over and over and over, God showed up. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says back at Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So you know what I guess? They were filled with the Holy Ghost again. That doesn't mean we were just filled one time. We can invite the Spirit to take over every time and be filled with the Holy Ghost again. And they spoke the Word of God with boldness. That's what He wants the church today to do. Speak the Word of God with boldness. Time's running out. And if we don't start speaking the Word of God with boldness, there's going to be people that don't know. Acts 12. Peter is put in prison by Herod. Herod wants to kill him. He saw he got a rise out of the Jews by killing James. Hey, I'm going to kill Peter too. That's the scenario in Acts 12. And the verses are 5 to 15. I'm going to read you just one. Peter, verse 5. "Therefore was kept in prison." Now listen to me, brothers and sisters, what the Word of God says. "But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." You know what that means? What does that mean? They prayed for him. How much did they pray? They never stopped. That's why I'm ashamed. as your pastor. There's tragedy all around us, and I have not called us to nonstop prayer. They prayed nonstop. And you know what happened? You read the story. After a little while, if you haven't read it, go ahead and read it in Acts chapter 12. After a little while, as they were praying, an angel of God comes along and shakes up Peter a little bit and says, come on, we're going out of here. Peter thought he was seeing a vision. He thought he was having a dream. Until he went out two or three gates and he finally realized, hey, this ain't a dream. I'm free. And he went down to his place where the church was praying. And the Bible says, as he knocked at the door, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. This is the King James Version. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but she ran in and she told how Peter stood at the gate. God answered prayer. Imagine that. And they're inside. They're on their knees. They're on their knees before God. They're saying, oh God, please free Peter. And he's standing at the door out front. And they say to the little girl, you've got to be out of your mind. They've been seeking the face of God in prayer. And God answered the prayer. He's standing at the gate and they wouldn't let him in. My point is, God wants to answer your prayers. When we get serious with seeking the face of God, He answers. Listen to what James said in James 4:2. You do not have because you do not ask. Have you ever thought of it that way? He says that to the church. He says that to Jim. He says that to us. You do not have because you don't ask. And so we got to get serious on our knees before God and seeking the face of God as a church. Let me close with this, friends. Symbolist says in his book, partway through it, he said, you know what? There's still a sad reality in New York City. The sad reality is, in the city where I live, as in many others, LA, Chicago, Minneapolis, you name it, more people are turning to crack than turning to Christ. More people are dipping into drugs and sexual immorality than getting baptized in water. His quote goes on, what's going to reverse this tide? Preaching alone is not going to do it. Classes are not going to do it. More money for more programs, not going to do it. Only turning God's house into a house of prayer will reverse the power of evil so evident in the world today. And I believe he's right. Now, you can scoff about this. You can scoff about Jim Symbler. You can scoff about what I've said this morning. But I believe if we are ever going to see the miraculous, life-changing, and we have. Forgive me for implying we haven't. We have seen God's hand here. But I believe if we are ever going to see it in mountain-moving ways, the body of Christ called the church has to get faithful and seeking His face as a church. Agree or disagree? I think the body of Christ has to get serious. And I know it's hard to come back on Sunday nights when you've been here in the morning already. I know it's hard to be part of 40-day prayer tricks. We've had a couple. There was very few people at either event. And so I'm asking myself, God, how can we, this body, how can we seek your face in a new way? How can we not just talk about it, but do something about it? I'm asking myself that. Sunday nights, Tuesday nights, 40-day prayer treks, I don't know the answer. I'm seeking the Lord. But I believe, friends, that we have got to get serious in our prayer life as a congregation, seeking the face of the Almighty. You know what? I take time to rest. I used to take time to work or milk cows or hay or whatever I used to do. You take time to do your daily things. Are we taking time to seek the face of God? Just let's sing. We're going to sing a song. Can't even remember the name of it. What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Page 435. And I want to read for you verse 2. Because it's profound, brothers and sisters. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3, but let me read to you verse 2. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? I guess there is. I guess there is in life, isn't there? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to Him in prayer. Brothers and sisters, I'm absolutely convinced that if we collectively, corporately, as a church, begin to seek the face of God in new and intentional ways, I believe we will see mountains moved. Hallelujah. You know what? We go through life thinking we got to go through it all alone. We got to bear this burden by ourselves. That's not the way it is, friends. Jesus is real. God in heaven is real. And if you're carrying a burden today, maybe you're sick. Maybe you got a burden in your heart. Maybe you got a burden in your pocketbook. Maybe things just aren't adding up. I want to invite you to come and pray with Marie or Pastor Les this morning. Or myself. I'm going to be here. You know what? I'm going to be right here at the altar. I'm going to be praying. And if you want to pray this morning, I just want to invite you to come down here and pray. Lay it all out before Jesus. Maybe you're not even sure you've given your life completely to Him. Maybe you're not even sure you're saved. Today is the day of salvation. And so I'm going to dismiss you. But if you want to pray, there's three of us down here. We want to pray with you. If you want to come and kneel at the altar, I want to invite you to do that. You say, Jim, I'm a little embarrassed to do that. If God's tapping on your heart today, friends, don't say no to Him. Don't turn your back on Him. It's going to be a bad day of judgment if we turn our back on God here. So let's just bow our heads once more. I'm going to dismiss you in prayer. And if you want to pray with one of these brother or sister up here, or you just want to come to the altar and kneel and pray, that's where I'm going to be. Gracious God, forgive us for not seeking Your face the way that You want us to. Heaven is all about You, and yet we don't take any time for You here. Forgive us, oh God. Forgive us as a church for calling ourselves a church and not seeking Your face. Forgive me, Lord, for not doing the right things to lead this congregation to a steadfast prayer life. God in heaven, You are real. And we have so neglected You in our prayer lives. Forgive us. Dismiss us now, gracious and loving God, with Your guiding hand, Your Spirit's hand. And Father, if there's somebody here today wondering, have I really repented of all my sin and asked Jesus to come into my life? If there's somebody here today wondering about that, Father, please speak to them clearly. Help them to say, yes. Yes, I want Jesus to come into my life and take control. If there's somebody here hurting this morning, Father, please encourage them to come forward and pray with Marie or Les, or kneel at the altar with me so that we might seek You together in prayer. Help us, Father, never to be ashamed of You, ashamed of Your gospel, or embarrassed to get face to face with You. But help us, Father, be a lot more faithful. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.